Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show of the champions, the local comic book shop. Broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I'm Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And Chris, what were you doing there? Spinning some Booker T or something?
Did you like that? That was, you know what? This is going to be an all Krantz, all episode, baby.
Sweet Krantz.
Sweet Krantz all the
there's
time.
There's Sweet Christmas, and then there's Sweet Krantz.
Sweet Krantz. So for those of you who don't know what we're talking about with the old Krantz on the radio, we're talking about the old 1960s Spider-Man TV show and the swinging sounds of the Krantz productions
the Krantz
of that
production.
Show.
Awesome. Hey, listen, Chris and I always like, we like to gather here once a week to chit-chat about comics and the world of comics.
Is that what
books.
We do?
That's what we do.
Oh, all right.
We inform, we do a public service, really. You know, we should get paid way more than we're getting
paid. We really should.
And we inform people on the ins and outs, the ebbs and flows.
The minutia. Of the show.
Of the world of comics.
Of comics. Yeah.
And we always like to start the show with you talking about comics that are hitting the local comic book shops new this week, Stan.
That is very true. And this week is no different from any other week.
Why would it be?
We're still going to do that.
It's Groundhog Week.
Groundhog Week. All right.
And this week's new this week segment is brought to you by Hine VSOP.
Oh, I like that.
It's the new club soda provider of comic culture.
Oh, you know, that's great.
Chris, they're fighting over us.
They are. Last week we had Gauthier or something like that, and now we got Hine.
It's, I'm just, you know, I'm hoping Remy Martin hears the call.
One day.
All right, Chris, look, you've picked a couple of books there.
I got a smattering of books this week. So let's talk about the first one. First one I want to talk about is Batman Creature of the Night, Book 1.
Batman Creature of the Night, Book 1.
That's right. So we got, it's a new, I don't know, you know, okay. Back in my day, we would call this prestige format.
Way back.
So this is a $5.99 comic. And you know what? I'm going to say
Prestige pricing.
Uh-huh. However,
right.
You know what? A regular comic these days is like $2.99, $3.99. So uh-huh. $5.99 isn't that big of a deal for what you're going to get out of this book.
Okay.
This is a miniseries.
Uh-huh.
This is by Kurt Busiek, so who's famous for writing things like
Astro City,
Marvels, longtime writer for both Marvel and DC. Great writer, great guy. And the artist is John Paul Leon. And he's doing the coloring, the art.
The guy with three first names.
That's right. But you know, it's a great book. And you know what? I can't say it reminds me, but the feel of it reminds me of the prestige formats that used to come out in the 1980s, such as The Dark Knight Returns,
right?
Green Arrow, Longbow Hunter,
yeah,
all
I remember
that kind
those
of stuff.
Things.
That,
yeah.
That same feel, even Joker's what do you call it, Batman? What's that called? The what's that book called? The Joker? What
I can't remember. Killing Joke.
Yeah, right. brain tumor there for a second.
Dead. Hey, this is Batman Creature of the Night, Book 1 from DC, and it is there at your local comic book shop today.
That's right. All right. Also by DC today, I want to talk about this. So, you know, you and I were talking earlier about the rise of female characters in female books in comics these days.
Yes.
And how much more popular they're becoming. Well, here we have, this is Mystic U.
Mystic
You. Mystic U.
Chris O.
Mystic U. So this is Mystic U. So we have Zatanna, one of my faves, on the cover. And this is Welcome to Mystic U. And basically, it's like a mystical type university where there's classes for those that are involved in the mystic arts.
Wow, that is cool.
And you know what? Any book with Zatanna in it, I'm a fan of, right? Because, you know, the whole top hat and tails and all fishnets and all
Chris
that
stuff. Chris is a sucker for top hats. Hey,
it's
listen.
Not quite as, what I was getting
as
with.
As fetishes go, Chris, you know, who's anybody to talk? Mystic U. Sail into the mystic with Zatanna at your local comic book shop.
All right. Next up. We have here we go back to this whole Marvel thing with legacy numbering. So it's weird for me to see Moon Knight number 189. Did you know that there's 189?
What a marvelous night for the Moon Knight.
Interesting to see that Moon Knight has had 189 issues of its own standalone.
This
comic.
Is the legacy one.
Legacy numbering, yeah. Legacy numbering. So we got Moon Knight. Mark Spector, of course, is the Moon Knight.
Well, he had that. Mark Spector had that nice 60, 70 issue run or 80 issue run or whatever it was.
Right.
In the 90s. And then there was the Moon Knight, the first Moon Knight in the 80s.
Right.
So, yeah, I can see 189.
Yep. So Mark Spector, Moon Knight. Anyway, so this is crazy runs of the family. Now, there are different Moon Knights. Did you know that? That there's different
I didn't
Moon
know.
Knights. There's actually Stephen
Grant.
Is
it like a waning Moon Knight and a waxing Moon Knight? And a
full
moon
night and a crescent moon
and
night.
And a half moon night.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I can't tell you that. Yeah, I can't, okay. Yeah.
Those would be my guesses.
Yeah, well, we've got, Moon Knight is on your local newsstands today, issue 1.
It is a marvelous night for Moon Knight at your local comic book shop.
Marvelous
night for the Moon Knight. All right, Chris, keep going.
Sorry. So we've got Jean Grey, number 9. By Dennis Hopeless and artist is Victor Ibanez. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not.
Sure are.
But you know what? Jean Grey is always one of those mainstays of characters that people love to always talk about and love to read about Jean Grey.
Uh-huh.
So it's no surprise that she's a big hit here. I'm not going to. I don't like to give away spoilers. But this is an interesting book, and there's a big explosion in the end of it. And anyways, I'm not going to tell you that's perhaps Jean Grey is involved in it, but
wow. You know what? If there is a big explosion, Chris, I sure hope she's involved in
she
it.
Sure is.
Jean Grey, number nine, is at your local comic book shop.
All right, now
let's just try to do the dumbest ass pop culture references to every book.
We can do that. Don't you worry.
Apparently, they're songs.
Okay.
So,
right. So have you heard of that TV show Rick and Morty?
No, okay. I have. Somebody told me about it. But like all these new kid TV shows, they're just crap.
This is not a kid TV show.
Well,
it looks like it should be, but
right.
It's not.
Okay.
So Rick and Morty is an adult base. They swear and there's like...
Oh, I like
you know,
it already.
There's like adult situations.
Uh-huh,
I haven't actually seen any nudity in it.
Okay.
I'm getting caught up on the series. I've just finished watching the first season of it.
Uh-huh.
As far as I know, it's up to season 3 or maybe starting 4 soon. Anyways, it's actually a very funny show. It's actually very funny. It's a little bit crude in some cases, but it's actually very funny. Well, they've of course, there's a comic book about it. We've never talked about it
mm-hmm.
because we're not really that hip. Right?
No, we're not. That's for sure.
But because this is issue number 32. So apparently,
first I heard of it. Did we sell that at my shop?
Apparently, there's people that know a lot more about this than I do. So, issue number 32 for Rick and Morty. It's a great series. Again, normally I can't say that it's for kids, although it is a cartoon. But if you want to pick up the series by Oni Press, Rick and Morty's at issue number 32 today.
Okay, so now we've got to try to do some reference here. Chris Owen come lately. There's a new kid in town.
New Rick and Morty in town.
Apparently it's Rick and Morty, and it's at your local comic book shop.
Nice.
Today.
Nice. All right.
That was a bad one.
That was terrible.
You know why? Because we put pressure on ourselves.
I know, because you had to come up. You had to go ahead and say.
I bet you there would have been some natural flow if I didn't open my trap.
I know. Well, it's sometimes when you open up your trap, there is a natural flow.
Oh.
Just saying. Yeah.
Anyway. Hold on. I need some club soda refreshment right now.
We've got... So here's an odd one to come out. Jim Henson's Labyrinth 2017 special, number one. So here's a... It's based on a movie that came out like...
10 years ago? 15?
25
wasn't that,
years
ago? Hold on. Wasn't that David Bowie?
Yeah, David Bowie.
Changes.
Yeah, so anyways, we've got... This is it's a Labyrinth special, so stories about the Labyrinth Kingdom. Now, Jennifer Connelly was the actress that played in that particular series, or that movie rather, and I don't see her in the comic. So it's basically based around the trolls and the goblins and David Bowie himself, whatever his name was, the Goblin King.
Right.
I guess it was
Ziggy Stardust.
Sure. Yeah. Let's go.
Ziggy
with that.
Played guitar.
So, anyways, if you're a Labyrinth or Jim Henson fan, this one is the one for you.
Wonderful. All right, that's the Jim Henson's Labyrinth, a 2017 special number one.
Yes,
at your local comic book shop today.
All right, listen. Let's.
That it, Chris.
That's all we got for today. We did seven or eight.
No,
six. Okay. Six. Hey, we did lots.
But by all means, listen. Don't for a minute think that these are the only six that are coming out this week.
Sound like I had a bit of an accent there for a second. Don't for a minute now.
Don't you think? Head into your local comic book shop and peruse everything that's new this week.
All right, listen. Let's have a quick musical interlude, and then we're gonna come back and talk a little bit about
stuff.
Let's call it industry news. But first up, we've got some more Krantz on the way here, and this one is called The Scarf.
Scarf. Scarf face. Hey, Chris. That takes us into industry news.
Yes.
And this week, industry news is brought to us by Chris and Walt's KTEL Hits of the 70s. Hear Chris sing Feelings and Walt's rendition of Mandy. Only available on 8-track and only through comicbookdaily.com.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. I would actually like to hear that one day.
Oh, well, remember we taped it?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So it is available.
When I say hear it, I want to hear what I would actually turned out. I don't really remember a whole lot of it.
Right. It's all a blur.
All right,
Chris, what do we have for industry news? What are we going to talk about first?
Well, we've got to start out with, so it was a holiday weekend in the States.
It was in the States. It was that, what do you call that?
Well, it was Thanksgiving. On the Thursday. Then mm-hmm. It was, I don't know if you want to call Black Friday a holiday. But
Football Thursday, Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
That's right.
That's the way I remember.
Right. Yep, that's right. Yep.
Okay. Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders on the Thursday.
Nice.
Black Friday, and then Cyber Monday.
Yep. Cyber Monday. Listen, so we're going to talk about what's going on in the movies situation there. So Coco. Coco is the big new Disney movie by Pixar. So as you know, Pixar and Disney have sort of a collaboration going on. Pixar.
Now, when I say Coco. You immediately think Cocoa Puffs?
I think of hot cocoa.
Coco Chanel?
No, I don't think of Coco Chanel.
Sweet Daddy Siki.
Coco beware.
Coco beware. Right, that's who I meant.
Yeah.
I'm about 15 years behind on my wrestlers. Oh, man. Okay. This is a movie. This is a movie, a Pixar movie.
So Pixar.
Now, Pixar are always well-received movies.
Almost always well-received. Oh. Now, there are a few that haven't been quite as well-received.
Right.
But those are the ones that generally you go back and you watch again, and you're amazed at actually how good it was.
Right.
Say a movie like Up had the voice of Ed Asner, and it's about the old guy that takes the balloons. That was one of those movies that didn't really do that well in the theater. It did well, don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But then people talk about it, and they were like amazed at how good it was. And they say, you know what, if you're not crying within the first 2 minutes, you're a heartless, jerk and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But generally, Pixar movies are da bomb, as the kids like to say.
Yep.
And Coco apparently is yet another box office smash hit. Although we did have Justice League coming in for its second week, Coco was the big hit this past week.
Now, Justice League did pull out $40 million, which is, I guess, is okay. I mean, they did $100 million almost on the first one, so
that's
dropped. Dropped almost 60%.
That's right.
59%. Which I don't know. I think that's what you're supposed to drop on these big mega hits.
I would think so.
You drop over half.
On the first week.
On the second week because everybody comes out for the first week.
So, Justice League. Let's talk about Justice League for a minute.
Have you seen the dumb thing yet?
I have not seen it.
Okay, I haven't either.
I'm hearing mixed reviews. I've done a lot of reading on the internet about it, and some people say that it's terrible. I talked to some friends about it. They say they all liked it. I have one friend that has seen it three times already.
I like that guy already.
He loved it. So
God bless that guy.
So
because that guy is just like, I don't care what people say.
Right.
I really like it.
He loved it. He absolutely loved it. That was great.
Perfect.
I have a feeling that it's one. When I saw Batman versus Superman, I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it on DVD, and I saw the extended cut. Everybody was saying that, the movie didn't make any sense. Well, I saw the extended cut, and I thought, hey, this is actually a pretty good movie. I didn't have a problem with it.
Right.
And I'm wondering if this is the same situation going on where, they shot too much footage, and they had to take some stuff out in order to make the story fit within a two-hour, 20-minute time frame, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
And if you see the three-hour cut, maybe it's awesome. I don't know.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. I hate when they try to condense two movies into one.
Right.
Spider-Man did that with that Venom one, number three.
Yeah, that was terrible. That was like 18 million different villains.
Yeah, and it's there's something to be said for a nice gradual build.
Yep.
It's a lot of, you know what? I remember as a kid, we used to hate the movies. We used to call them, I don't want to see that. It's all talking. Right? But talking makes movies.
It totally does, yeah.
Talking is what you want.
Yep.
You want that. I forget that first Avengers movie or whatever. Probably the first.
It was just Avengers,
And my favorite scene was on the bridge of the big ship.
Right.
Where they're all just standing around, just going over the scenarios of what the heck's going on.
And yammering at each other.
And talking about it. And some guy saying, this is what's going on. And this is, and he's kind of filling you in. But you're just like enthralled.
Right.
Because what it's about, it's like comic books, Chris. Comic book movies are like comic books. Okay
yeah, go on.
You can have the best art. You can have Jack Kirby, Frank Cho.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that does the good girl art?
Adam Hughes.
In the old days.
Oh, Matt Baker.
Matt Baker. Frank Frazetta.
Yeah.
You can have that.
Yeah.
You can have it all with that eye candy.
Right.
But if the storytelling is crap.
That's right. Yeah.
All it is just eye candy and you get.
I totally
get
it.
And it's not enough.
Yeah, I totally get
So what you need above and beyond those beautiful special effects, the great imagery and everything like that, is a well-woven, well-told, and this is the key.
Yep.
Are you listening?
I'm listening.
A well-paced story.
I agree.
So
I totally agree.
If you rush it and condense it and
conglump it,
it loses everything.
I totally agree. Mm. When
you agree?
I totally agree.
Nice.
Not only just a little bit, I actually fully, inherently, 100% agree with you. Because, all too often in movies these days, they show all kinds of special effects and it's all glam and glitz and look at all the things that we can do. But the story is meh.
Meh.
And so, all the great storytellers, like I remember even a guy like George Lucas said that, you know, all those special effects are amazing. They're just, they're secondary to the story, right? And as they should be. You need to have a good story foundation in order to make the special effects work.
When I got back into reading comics in the early 2000s, I don't know if you remember. I forget who that writer is. I suck at this stuff. But it was it was when Hulk was being drawn and Hulk was hardly being used.
Okay.
And it was all about Banner and there was tension building.
Yeah.
And then when Hulk did come, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, I totally remember that.
And I remember that. And that was like important. It was just like it was about pacing and storytelling and build up and tension and all that.
That was the whole storyline with Mr. Green and Mr. Blue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Remember, it's just, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Right?
I agree.
And
Hulk wasn't even in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know. You know, DC just kind of, you know, and that's what
it's
I hated
flash.
Those Superman movies with, you know, the last 22 minutes of Superman dying, you know.
Oh, like, I know. Yeah.
Come on. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I totally get it.
So
I
anyway,
totally get it. I've heard that this movie's pretty good.
I'm looking forward to seeing
it.
I liked Wonder Woman.
I liked Wonder Woman too.
Yeah.
I thought Batman vs Superman was okay.
It was okay. Yeah. I had good moments.
Is it my favorite movie of all time? No.
The good moments were the intrigue moments, the whatever moments. It's almost like DC mourners. They need lessons on toning it down.
But you know,
simmer down.
You know, you get a guy like Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
Here's a guy.
That guy don't simmer anything down.
But you know what? Okay. But here's the thing. He became known for his dialogue, right?
Yes,
so you get a movie like Reservoir Dogs,
yes.
Which really is not
Mr. Green.
But there's not a whole lot of action in that movie.
No, there's not.
Right? But the dialogue is phenomenal.
Right.
And that's why people go to see his movies, right?
Yes.
So why not have it with these superhero movies?
Chris, it's about storytelling.
Yeah.
It's in comics and in movies and even in video games. It's about storytelling. It's
totally
the progression of something that you're enamored with, attached to, involved in.
I totally agree. So anyways, Justice League is doing very well in the theater still. I mean, it's not doing as well as the production studios would hope.
I read somewhere that they need $600 million to break even, and they're at like 480 worldwide. So
they're at 480 worldwide. They need 600. They're 120
and they're
million
two,
away.
2 weeks in.
They'll get it.
They're going to get it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of disappointing because they were hoping for a home run.
Well, they're hoping for the Avengers, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And they didn't get it because, you know what? So here's the thing.
They
rushed into having their own Avengers when they didn't, and they rushed into the build what they thought they had a build up for, right? Because they had the Superman movie, they had Man of Steel, then they had Batman versus Superman, and Wonder Woman was sort of an offshoot, wasn't even part of it,
right?
But they wanted to do immediately what Marvel had done very, very slowly with Iron Man and Thor and Captain America over a number of movies,
right?
You know, and then all of a sudden you get the Avengers, and you're like, wow, this is awesome. Because it all made sense, whereas this was just sort of rushed into it. And
Chris,
I could be wrong.
You're preaching to the choir, my friend.
Testify.
Right. You got a witness. Hey, listen, let's keep going. Let's talk about, stay on movies and talk about this this Captain Mar-Vell movie that's coming out.
Captain Mar-Vell. So Jude Law.
Now, what was he in? He was in the Sherlock Holmes with
Robert Downey Jr.
He was in the movie Sherlock Holmes.
So he was.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Ask
I'm going to ask you a question.
Ask me.
Now, ex Benedict Cumberbun, who we all
love. Benedict Cumberbatch,
you know, in the BBC, you know, just kind of. But I love him. The last couple ring. I don't know. I got confused.
Of the Sherlock,
the Sherlock series or whatever. But I really enjoyed the Robert Downey movie.
I did too. You know what? I like them both. I like them both for different reasons.
Right. So, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, the Benedict Cumberbatch is a modern take on
traditional character. Right.
Whereas the Robert Downey Jr. one is also a modern take,
but it's fantastic.
It was
different. Yeah, it was
Victorian,
cool. Right?
modern take.
And then there was that one where the old guy that played Gandalf, he did a Sherlock.
Ian McKellen, yeah.
Ian McKellen, he did a Sherlock, an old man Sherlock.
Right.
Keeping the bees and that's the kid.
Right, yes.
That was fantastic, too.
And there's one case that has...
There's been three Sherlocks.
Yeah.
I've loved every one of them.
Yeah, they're great. They're all
great.
It's
like Sherlock Holmes
is
fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And three different actors and three different styles of telling a Sherlock Holmes story.
And I love them all.
I was enthralled with every single one.
Absolutely.
It was fantastic. Absolutely. So, I forget my point.
We're talking about Jude Law.
Yeah, Jude Law. Yeah, he was in.
He was in.
Thanks for really, what do you call it,
reining me back in.
So anyways, I sometimes go off and I don't know where I am.
You know what I like? Yeah. I like Sherlock Holmes. The end. Is this show still going? What's going on
here?
You know
what? He's a good kid, that Sherlock Holmes. I like him a lot. What the hell was I talking about?
Where's my medicine?
Never mind the medicine. Where's my club soda? Jude Law.
So
he was Watson.
He was Watson.
Yeah.
And there was that
great scene at the bachelor party.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great.
Jude Law has been in lots of great things.
Yeah, I liked him as Watson.
Great as Watson. So
who the hell is he in this?
Movie? So let's just.
Well, that was a long-winded way to ask that question.
Boy, was it ever. So we've got Captain Marvel coming out. Now, this is going to be confusing to some people because we want to... So right now, there's a Ms. Marvel who is not Captain Marvel.
Right.
Ms. Marvel is the Muslim
Marvel. Yes.
Now, we also have...
Kalala, or whatever her name is.
Kamala Khan.
Kamala
Khan. We also have... Captain Marvel, who is Carol Danvers.
That's right.
Who used to be Ms. Marvel.
Right.
Now, we also have Captain Marvel. I'm going to say it like that just to kind of
differentiate.
Yeah. So we have Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Marvel was the Captain Marvel who died of cancer.
The Jim Starlin Captain Marvel.
From 30 years ago.
From the Bronze Age comics in the 70s.
Exactly.
Right.
So, now, Jude Law is going to play Captain Marvel.
Oh, so he's being the principal actor.
He's going to be, one of the principal actors. Uh-huh. So, he is going to mentor Carol Danvers, who's played by Brie Larson, who is Captain Marvel.
Wait a minute. So, Brie Larson, that name rings a bell.
Okay.
Who's Brie Larson?
Brie Larson is a famous actress who's been in lots of movies that... You know what? I can't believe you don't know who she is. Because she's been in so many things. I can't even begin to describe number of different things she's in.
Don't worry about it.
No. You know what?
No, Chris, I don't want to get into an argument with you here on Comic Culture. Comic Culture isn't about arguing.
I can't believe you don't know who Brie Larson is. Hold on.
No, she was with... hold on, Chris. She was with...
Let's see.
Robert Mitchum. She starred in a lot of movies with him. No, that was
Robert Mitchum.
That was Greer.
That was Greer Garson.
Greer Garson.
Greer Garson or whatever.
Okay.
So Brie Larson has been.
No. She was. What's her name? The sword person. Xena.
Xena. No, that's Lucy Lawless.
Okay, I'm close.
Not even a little bit. So Brie Larson's been in Kong Skull Island, The Glass Castle. She was in Room. She was in Trainwreck with Amy Schumer.
Trainwreck, that's like this show right now. I feel your pain.
She was in 21 Jump Street with those guys. Anyways, lots of different things. So Brie Larson's been in lots of different things, and she is going to be Captain Marvel.
I see.
Now, all right. Now,
thanks for clearing that up.
So Jude Law.
Oh yeah, we were talking about. Let's back everything up.
Beep, beep, boop, pop, boop, beep.
So Jude Law is playing Captain Marvel.
Yes.
The Starlin Captain Marvel.
Correct.
And Greer Garson is playing
Brie Larson.
She's playing Brie Larson?
Brie Larson is playing... No, Greer Garson is not playing Brie Larson. Okay. Brie Larson is playing Carol Danvers, who's was the Ms. Marvel that you know.
He's the Frank Cho Ms. Marvel.
Sure, let's call it that. Let's call her that.
You got to draw pictures for me, Chris.
Yeah. Okay. First appearance of Mystique was in Ms. Marvel.
Uh huh.
That Ms. Marvel.
Oh, okay, I get it. Now.
Okay.
Right,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. So Jude Law is in negotiations for the male lead. Who he will play Dr. Walter Lawson, who is Captain Mar-Vell, who mentors Carol Danvers, who is Brie Larson.
Fantastic.
So
now we are getting somewhere.
Hold on, I can't imagine why this is confusing. Jude Law plays Walter Lawson, who's Brie Larson's mentor, plays by Captain Carol Danvers. Okay.
Listen, I don't know if the people that are listening realize how lucky they are to have you and I break things down for them.
It's so true.
Because it's so clear,
it's so concise. Yeah, yeah.
They can pretty well walk away from this in the know.
They will know. They will be in the know.
They'll be in the know.
You know, they'll be a part of the crowd.
Now, that's like still a year and a half away.
So Captain Marvel will be released March 8th, 2019. So that'll be after Avengers Infinity War.
Uh-huh.
So which is going to be coming out next year.
So Avengers Infinity War, is that the climax? Is that where they blow the wad?
Basically. Yes and no.
And let me ask you another question.
Ask me.
Now that they made this deal with Fox,
has that been made for sure? I didn't know that had been made for sure.
No, I can't be because they've already done filming, right? There won't be a Galactus and a Surfer in the Avengers.
I don't think so.
So that'll be the next loop.
That could be there's Avengers Infinity War.
That's still Thanos and Drax and
but
all
then there could also be an event because there's Avengers Infinity War and then there's going to be a second Avengers movie almost like Avengers Infinity War 2 which I think is going to come out in 2019.
Oh, so they've doubled up. Mm-hmm. Like Star Wars, they got one more.
Exactly. Movie. So now that's all changed because initially it was Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Part 2, and now they're just saying Untitled Avengers Project.
Right.
So I don't know if it's still going to be part of the whole thing or not, and who's going to be involved with that. But if you've looked at the
I haven't looked at anything.
Actors playing in the Avengers Infinity War movie, it is huge because, of course, you got all your.
Is Hugh Jackman in it?
Hugh Jackman is not in it because he's.
That's not huge, then, is it?
Well, it's still huge, just not with Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
So we've got, you know, the Robert Downey Jr.'s and the Chris Evans and the Chris Hemsworths and Scarlett Johansson's and Tom Hiddleston's and we've got Chris
Ruffalo's
and Ruffalo's and Chris Pratt. And Zoe Saldana and, you know, Harry Gamora.
Harry Gamora.
All that stuff, right?
She gets in everywhere.
She really does. Yeah. So we've got everybody who's anybody in that movie.
Wow.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it is. But.
But.
Like you and I discussed before, Marvel figures out a way to do it the right way.
They do.
And I don't know. I'm excited. Hold on, but
let's just talk about Avengers Infinity War here for a second.
Why were we talking about this in the beginning, at the first place?
Well, we're talking about Jude Law.
Oh, right, Jude Law.
Jude Law.
Always comes back to Jude Law.
So listen, Avengers Infinity War, actually, believe it or not, there is some news about that too these days.
Oh.
So Thor Ragnarok has quieted down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Marvel has now kicked off the public relations for the campaign for Avengers Infinity War, which now there's going to be a trailer today, I tells you.
Right.
I have not seen it yet myself, but there's going to be a trailer today for that film.
Have you PVR'd it?
I have not PVR'd.
What do you call that?
I don't know if you can PVR just a trailer. I Googled it.
Oh, I don't know.
I can probably Google it, but I haven't done that yet. I'm a busy guy, and I got stuff.
So is this going to break the internet?
It probably will.
Yeah?
Probably will.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, there was an accidental quote-unquote.
Is it going to have more views than Psy?
I don't know what Psy is. I mean, Psy like
Gundam style.
Don't ever do that again. Please don't ever do that again.
Gundam style.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Like a billion views.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if Avengers is going to kick Psy's ass.
Maybe.
You ain't nothing until you kick Psy's ass.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. Let's listen. There's an accidental poster release.
Wait a minute. Accidental?
How about an accidental? Quote, unquote, accidental.
So
a purposeful accidental
gimmick poster release.
Gimmick poster release by Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man.
I like that kid.
I like, he's a good kid.
He's a good kid. Good, good, I like kid the kid. There. I think he's isn't he a Kingston kid?
Maybe, sure, I don't know. I think I'll he's, say from, he's Kingston. Maybe he's from Britain or
somewhere somewhere near Kingston.
Sure, why not? Like
4,000, 7,000 kilometers from Kingston.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. He plays Spider-Man. So here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Spider-Man is going to be in the Infinity War.
Now, well, he was in the other Avengers movie. Of course it's going to be an Infinity
but
War.
But hold on a second here. Uh-huh. Remember, Spider-Man is still a Sony character.
He is.
So Spider-Man, although a Sony character, was in Civil War, Captain America Civil War.
Uh-huh.
But then he was in his own movie for Spider-Man Homecoming.
With Robert Downey Jr. in
making
it.
A guest appearance.
Guest appearance.
And now Tom Holland is also going to be in Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
So he's getting around.
He is.
He's getting around.
Now, what's he doing in a cosmic war movie?
It's a great question.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's...
He
should be.
On Netflix in Hell's Kitchen with the Punisher.
He should be in Soho.
Yeah. With Punisher.
Yeah.
No, Hell's Kitchen with Punisher.
I thought Spider-Man's crib was Soho.
Okay, but there everybody else is in Hell's Kitchen.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Sure, okay. Up there. Fair enough.
So he should be over there with Daredevil and Punisher.
You're right.
He should
agree.
Be on Netflix
I
with
agree.
Those guys.
I agree.
Right. He shouldn't be out... Where are you going to attach a web in space to?
Webs in space!
Think about the physics. Doesn't
physics.
Make sense.
Physics.
Anyway.
You know, but you know what? You know what? Spider-Man is more than his webs.
He is.
You know what?
He is.
He can do a lot more than
he's
just...
a good kid. He takes a mean... picture photo.
That's right.
He's pretty good at
he
that.
He works for the Daily Bugle.
Got a hot girlfriend.
Exactly.
Kid's got a lot going for him.
He really does. Mm-hmm. He's much more than his webs.
Right.
Anyways.
So what were we talking about?
So accidental poster release. If you want to look for, I don't want to spoil it. You know, this way you can get the wow factor once you actually go online and check it out for yourself.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, of course, the accidental part of it was not so accidental, and you can check it out, and you can check out the trailer today online.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, and that's all about that. Hey, I noticed the Infinity War, the release date is May 4th, which is the Star Wars day, really.
Pretty much, yeah. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you.
I think there
but since Star Wars and Marvel and Disney are all one
it's all
big
one
happy
now,
family,
so yeah,
why
so
not?
Right. Disney's probably like, you know what? Marvel, you can have the Star Wars day. We'll let you take this one.
Fantastic. Chris, you know, you and I have bit off way more than we could chew, obviously.
as we usually do. Listen, let's have a quick musical interlude here. We're going to talk about, this one's called The Leader. And of course, this is a little bit more Spider-Man Krantz.
Yeah, Chris,
like
I
like
one?
That
a that lot.
Little, you know what? That is the... I'm going to have a cigar and a brandy and just listen to that for 3 hours.
Loop it for
yeah,
3 hours.
Loop it, yeah.
Hey, with the no do not disturb sign on the door.
Exactly.
What's wrong with them? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I'm afraid to go in.
Hey, listen.
Yeah?
Go ahead. I know we got a sponsor for the second part of Industry News.
Second part of Industry News is brought to you by Christmas in Killarney.
Oh, yeah. Christmas in Killarney.
So, and if you can't make it to Killarney,
yeah?
Make it to your local comic book
shop.
Oh,
yeah, that's a very good point.
A little bit of Killarney in every comic book shop.
So, you know what? Speaking of which, let's just dive into that right now.
Uh-huh.
Quick question for you here. So,
yes, sir.
as we've been trying to do for the last few weeks here, and we're going to continue on today, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what to get for the quote-unquote person in your love life, maybe that collects comics or is involved in comics. So I've been thinking a lot about this issue lately, about what to get for people. Now, what do you get? Now, here, this is a very tricky question.
All right, Chris, I'm ready.
Very tricky question. Uh-huh. And maybe I'm wrong in even thinking this, but what do you get for the partner of somebody that likes comics? Because maybe the partner wants to contribute or be involved in the comics, but isn't necessarily...
What do you mean involved in the comics? Like involved in the selection of the comics that they're going to get?
Well, just like, okay, so let's just say you and I were dating.
Okay.
Okay, and let's just say, for example, you know, I liked comics, but you didn't.
Okay.
And let's say somebody wanted to get you a gift for the house, mm-hmm. that was comic related, mm-hmm. but you don't really love comics, but you know that I like comics.
Right.
So what could somebody get for you that's maybe comic related, but not so geeky that you're gonna hate it?
No, but what do you mean somebody? No, that would be you getting that for me. No?
But well, I guess I was thinking, like, you know, let's say somebody's getting us a gift together.
Oh, together.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I get it. Okay.
So something that
so
you
getting would, a gift for a couple.
Something that you wouldn't hate, uh-huh. but I would think is cool.
Right. So,
like, I'll tell you one of the things that I was thinking
okay,
of.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm gonna preempt my question with giving you an answer right away.
Okay.
So, for example, it's
you never
really,
asked me anything.
I kind of did, but I kind of didn't. Okay. So that's all right. So a little while ago, somebody gave me a pizza cutter, mm-hmm. that was in the shape of the Starship Enterprise. Mm-hmm. So there's a classic example of a gift that
NC-1701
as the cutter part.
As the cutter part,
right?
That's fantastic.
So there's something.
Can I have that?
Sure.
Okay.
No problem. I have to find it first.
Right. Okay. So well, if you do find it, I want it.
So there's a good idea for uh-huh. a gift, really, that, you know, both of us can enjoy, because
right.
you could use it because it's a pizza cutter and
right.
and, you know, it's kind of quirky, but right. I'm gonna love it because it's the Starship Enterprise.
And I'll pretend I love it because I love you.
Ah, see, there you go.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's the way it's gonna
so
work.
That's the kind of question I was trying to come up
I
with.
See.
I probably
yeah.
didn't word it very well.
No, I wouldn't do that. I
okay.
wouldn't do that to a couple.
Okay, so what is there something? Is there anything that you could get for the two of them that would be more inclined for the one person, but the other person would still like it?
The only thing I would do would be something edible.
Something edible.
What I mean by that is, let's say, chocolates.
Okay, like.
But what I mean by that in general is, it's a one-off. It's a
I
one-off.
I mean chocolates. But what do I mean by that? I mean dark chocolate. But what do I mean by that?
No, but what I
mean. I
mean
70% dark
if,
chocolate.
If you never let me finish, Chris. What I mean by that is it's not permanent.
Right. Right.
It's a cool moment. And then it's expendable.
Okay, right.
And so it's either a cake or a
okay.
chocolate or a whatever. So it's not that damn thing that I got to keep looking at in the drawer for the next 42 years with you, Chris. That stupid Star Wars cutter.
You're always dragging me into these things.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, maybe you want to have a Thor related, because you know what, Highland Park actually has like a Thor and Valkyr related scotches.
Oh, get me one of those.
I'll get you one of those. Don't you worry. Uh-huh. But you know, there's all kinds of things.
Does Highland Park have a Thor related? Explain this to me. I want to hear this. Highland Park, who we're trying to get on as a sponsor, as you know.
And you know what? I think they deserve the best. So they've come to us.
Uh-huh.
At least they should come to us.
Right, I know.
And so Highland Park.
Highland Park, by the way, for those who don't know, are one of the finest club soda purveyors in the world. In the world.
So they actually came up with a number of different scotches. Well, sorry, club sodas. And they actually... They have sort of, I'm gonna say, like Norse mythology as a guideline, a
right.
basis.
Now let me ask you this.
Yeah,
did they do it? Because in my mind, those Hebrideans up there
yeah.
in
yeah.
northern Scotland.
Yeah,
did they do it? True to Norse mythology, or did they do it true to Marvel?
They did it true to Norse mythology.
Thank goodness.
Right? Because
God
they can't do it to Marvel. Because
yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't fit
yeah,
with,
no,
with Highland
no,
Park.
No.
Like, my club soda has to be Norse mythology.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It can't be
So
what's the guy's name? Chris
Thor Hemsworth. Chris Hemsworth.
Hemsworth.
I don't want to drink.
Yeah, Chris. I don't want to drink Chris Hemsworth.
No, I neither do I. No. That sounds terrible.
I don't know.
Or even Tom Hiddleston as Loki.
Tom
I don't want to drink that. Yeah,
I don't want to drink that.
However,
stay away from my window. Never mind.
So, however,
stay away from my back door.
There's a Highland Park. Valkyrie out there right now that you can find, right? So yeah. Flight of the Valkyries,
hey,
the Wagner.
What was the first appearance of Marvel's Valkyrie?
Oh, you know what? That's a great question.
Uh-huh.
It's a great question. There
I don't even know.
There are a couple of schools of thought on the matter.
Right. I honestly don't know what it is. I know that the first appearance of the Liberators
is in Defenders.
Avengers 83.
Oh, that was Defenders.
That's the Valkyrie, what do you call it? A Valkyrie team of women liberators.
Right.
I'm going to say Valkyrie first appeared in a Journey into Mystery episode.
Okay.
Issue. And I'm going to say obviously I have to guess. First appearance of Valkyrie would be in, I'm going to do it in an Arnold voice because I think it's fitting. The first appearance of Valkyrie is in a Journey into Mystery 86.
Okay. So you're saying you think the first appearance of Valkyrie.
102.
Is what did you say?
Journey into Mystery.
Journey into Mystery. Hold on, I'm gonna Google this very quickly here. And
Chris is Googling.
Googling. Mm-hmm. All right, so we've got here. Oh man, there's a lot.
Should we talking now?
Ragnarok? Yeah, keep talking a little bit here.
All right, we can come back to that.
Oh no, hold on.
Okay, hold on. Chris is still thinking. He's thinking right now. Now, remember that Tom Cruise movie, Valkyrie?
Yeah, that was a good movie.
That was a very good movie.
Yeah. Okay, so
about Nazis.
Okay, so hold on. What did you say again?
They're always a good movie. When Nazis are involved, it's a good movie as long as they lose.
What was the first thing you said?
First appearance of Valkyrie.
Yeah,
Liberators, Journey into Mystery. No, Avengers 83 was the first appearance of the Liberators.
Well, okay, so it says here the character first appeared in Avengers 83.
Oh, fantastic. Then she formed a team right away.
Right. So yeah, you know what?
Yeah, you know what's great about me, Chris?
I
know stuff I don't even know I know.
Yeah, that's true. You're that smart.
Yeah.
So
I'm smarter than I am.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Smarter than the average Walt.
Uh-huh. All right, what are we talking about?
You gotta
help me out here.
We're talking
about Valkyrie?
Sure.
No.
What were we talking about?
Oh,
we were talking about Highland Park.
Highland Park. So they have a what show are we on?
All I was saying.
What else would we be talking about on Comic Culture, Chris?
All I'm saying is that, you know what? If you don't know what to buy,
just buy them Highland Park.
And go out and support your local comic book retailer.
Just draw a Spider-Man head on the bottle. It'll be fine. All right.
Okay, listen. Speaking of Marvel, you said you saw Runaways. Runaways.
Because I was at home, vegging on the couch like you're prone to do every now and then.
Yeah.
And maybe I was watching a hockey game or something like that. And was flicking around.
I go, hey,
that guy looks familiar. Like that, those characters look familiar. And I couldn't place it. And so I watched it for about 5-7 minutes. Then I realized it was Runaways.
Oh, right.
And then when it went to commercial, whatever it went to, then I realized it was the premiere. It was a two-hour Runaways premiere. I did the info thing. You know that button on the thing where you go info?
Yeah, and it shows you.
I pressed that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it said Runaways.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was intrigued.
Yes.
So, and so I ended up watching it.
And how was it?
And you know what? It was pretty good. Like, I liked it. It was different than the comic.
Okay.
It was written more kind of for teenage. Not for teenagers. It was written for everybody.
Now, I was just going to say, now, this is a Showcase show, if I remember.
I forget the channel.
So I'm pretty sure it's on Showcase.
Okay.
So now Showcase generally is a little more, I don't want to say adult, but mm-hmm. they kind of have a little more, they lean an adult.
Yeah, no. It was some pretty, you know, some kind of, you know, you had to kind of be mature to
watch
it.
Mature situations.
Yeah, definitely some mature situations to watch it. And I'm going to do a spoiler alert.
Oh. Beep, boop, boop, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Dive. Dive.
Dive.
In the book, I remember loving the book.
Yes, book was great.
And in the book.
Now, the book was by
Marvel.
Marvel. By Vaughn.
Brian K.
Brian K. Vaughn. Uh-huh.
And what made the book. Spoiler alert. Again, spoiler alert. Beep, boop, 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 boop. What made the book for me, especially the number one, especially the one that hooked you on, is that moment when they realize.
Well, don't say anything more.
Yeah.
But I get it.
So the moment when they realize
yes.
in the book
yeah.
was pivotal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For me, the moment when they realize in the show was trivial.
Right. Interesting. Interesting.
So the buildup was about the character relations between the kids, which is
yeah.
fantastic because
yeah.
that's setting up their relationships
sure.
and stuff like
sure.
that. But it seemed to me that they blew the magic moment. The moment. The most important moment in Runaways is when they realize.
Right.
That's and the absolute
and
most
you know
important
what?
Moment.
Here's what I'm going to tell you on that.
Uh-huh.
Watching the trailers or the ads, I'll call it, the commercials for that particular show.
Yeah.
I can't remember what we've been watching recently, but there's been ads for that show on TV, and they blurted out in the ad already.
Oh.
So it's oh, okay. it's a non-issue.
Right, okay.
Right?
So it's no spoiler alert needed.
But it well, I don't want still don't want to say cuz you know what?
Right.
They kind of actually made, you know what? They allude to it.
Right.
And maybe because I know what they're talking about.
Right.
But you know what? It seems like what you're saying is that really like what you've said, it's almost like a non-issue here.
Uh-huh.
It's the whole revelation isn't meant to be that big of a deal in the show.
I see. Okay, I get that. I guess. Sure. Well,
which
how
is
come
too bad.
I didn't get
which is
the
too,
memo?
Which is too bad because in the comic, that's huge.
But they should. But what they got to realize is okay. Spider-Man, Batman.
Yep.
The canon is massive.
Yeah.
The fan base is massive.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
So it's different fanboy reading it. To a newbie
totally,
watching the movie.
Totally.
With Runaways,
yep.
it's exactly the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
That number one, Runaways, is the first time anybody happened yep. upon it in comic book shops.
That's right, yeah.
The TV show is good for the majority of them. It's going to be the
yep.
first time they see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for the comic, the reveal was pivotal.
So
for the TV show, the reveal should have been pivotal.
Should have been. I agree. I totally agree.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks.
You know what?
I feel
yeah,
good
you,
about
you,
that was my critique on that thing.
You know what? So Runaways, I haven't had a chance to watch it myself.
Now, I talked to
I
you
do
earlier.
Want to watch it, yes.
You did see The Punisher though.
I have
it
watched
was released what, a couple weeks ago?
Not this past Friday, I believe, but the Friday before that.
Right. A week and a half ago.
So a week and a half ago. Now I have binged it. I've watched the
did
whole
you?
Thing. Yeah. It's so here's the thing. I enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
However, I didn't think there was enough Punisher in it. Now I know you've seen some of Daredevil, maybe not the whole thing.
We've
seen
the first five episodes.
Okay, but uh-huh. there was enough Daredevil in Daredevil.
Right.
Okay. I didn't feel like there was enough Punisher in the Punisher.
What's there a lot of in Punisher if it's not Punisher?
It's still good. There's a uh-huh. lot of intrigue and storytelling.
Like, but who's occupying the space?
Well, it's still Frank Castle.
Castle.
But it's not. It's still.
It's the alter ego.
It's not the Punisher.
Right.
Right? So uh-huh. he doesn't don the costume and go out and punish people. There's still action. There's still a little bit of action. It does get a little bit boring at some point. I would say
we'll
that.
Say that, Chris.
Well, come it on. Does. I'm gonna just lay it on
say
out
it.
There.
Say it.
You know, between episodes, I'd say 4 to 8,
uh-huh.
maybe even 9, it's kind of drawn out. Ending is awesome.
No, Chris, you and I earlier talking about drawing things out.
Okay.
And now they draw things out, and all of a sudden you're
too
a
much.
Prima donna.
Too much.
And you want things condensed.
Too much. Huh? Too much. I'm not
Make
saying
up I'll... your mind. That's why it's hard living with you. That's all I got to say.
I'm not going to say... All I'm going to say is drawn out too much. I think there's a you
uh-huh.
also
oh,
said
me now.
That's right. It's
right.
all about
okay.
you now.
Uh-huh.
You also said there needs to be proper pacing.
Yes, it does.
And there's
pacing
not,
is important.
Pacing is everything.
Cuz
so,
pacing leads to the perfect climax.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And that did not occur in The Punisher. Although sure, there was a good ending to that one, a good finishing, as it were. However, I feel, in my own opinion, that there was not enough punishing in The Punisher.
Oh, you like punishing.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm a big fan of punishing.
Nice. Hey, all Chris, right. Let's talk about The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
I read this, and I was amazed that I didn't, like, it just seemed time passes by so quickly. Did you know October 31st, 2010? Over 7 years ago, yep, was the first Walking Dead episode.
It's so hard to believe. You know, Walking Dead, I am not ashamed to say this, but mm-hmm, I don't watch it anymore.
Right.
I thought the mm-hmm last couple seasons, especially the last season, it's become far too much of a soap opera for me. I know. Mm. I get it. I get it. All
these
shows are.
But they're limited
in
just the concept. Just the concept of it. They're limited in what they can do.
I know. And I get that. But you know what? The first few seasons were so good. And recently, I just don't care anymore.
Chris, you and I talked about this before. We'll talk about it again because we like to repeat stuff. Whether it's a comic book title, whether it's a rock and roll band,
yep,
whether it's a TV show, you cannot produce brilliance 20 years in a row.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Your comic book titles have that sweet era,
yep,
where it makes the characters, yep, made in those titles.
Totally.
And then you basically live off it from, yep, there on in. And then you may have episodes and little
episodes
spurts
of greatness.
Of greatness after, yep, that, but it was made then.
Yeah, yeah.
And music is the same. They have that golden age era of where they produce and they're innovative and they create.
Totally.
And how do you expect, what's the show called?
Walking Dead.
To be cutting edge and relevant 22 years in a row.
Okay, I'm not saying it needs to be cutting edge or relevant. I'm saying that something needs to happen. There needs to be more intrigue. There needs to be more action or something. Not something. It's just, I felt like I was watching The Young and Restless with zombies,
yeah,
which some people would argue that's the same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh, hi, I'm Victor Newman.
Hey, Victor Newman was also one of the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yes, he was. He was the guy trying to take down when they came back to Earth.
That's right.
Yeah,
trying to take down Caesar was
Zira
it?
Zira and Cornelius and the little baby.
That's right. Caesar was the baby.
Caesar,
yeah,
was the baby.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Oh, Victor.
Hey, you know what? If you ever want to talk about Planet of the Apes, Walter and I are more than happy to talk about Planet of the Apes,
right,
anytime.
Well, listen, Chris, we have a lot of shows. Like, right after we stop taping this show,
yep,
we're doing our Highland Park show.
That's
and
right.
Then after that, we do our Planet of the Apes show.
I know. Right, it's so true. We've got a lot of shows to cover.
A lot of shows. Yeah. And they're all on GetToPointRadio.com, apparently.
Yes. And iTunes.
iTunes.
Yeah.
Listen, this show, by the way, I have to remind everybody, is on 93.3 CFMU, Hamilton's award-winning radio station.
McMaster Radio.
And pretty well thanks to us.
Thanks to us. They're still going.
Yeah.
You know what? Oddly enough, we're running out of time here, Walt.
No, we're not. We have to kind of talk about... I refuse to believe that. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones comes out next year.
Did you see season 7?
Oh, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Uh-huh.
I think it's fantastic. Do you watch it?
I don't watch it.
Why don't you watch
it? Should I watch it from the beginning?
Yes.
From season 1?
Yes.
Yeah?
Watch from season 1.
Have they made a comic book of it?
Has
the local comic book shop benefited from Game,
yes,
of Thrones in any way?
Yes.
Then I'll watch.
There is a comic book based on the show.
Uh-huh.
You need to watch it. I think
I
it's
will.
Great. Now,
hey, don't tell me what to do.
Sorry, sir.
Okay.
Having said that, when I see you later at home tonight,
mm-hmm,
I'll have it on so you can watch it.
Thank you.
Okay. So when you watch it, make sure you pay attention. Don't watch it when you're, you know, had a too few many club sodas.
Club sodas. I hear
because,
you.
Because, you know, you may not understand what's going on. Which, you know,
I may not understand what's going on.
Anyways, okay. I think you should watch it.
At least give me an excuse.
Season 8 comes in late 2018.
That's a long time between seasons.
But that's supposed to be the last season.
Right.
As far as I've heard.
All right. Hey, Chris, listen, that's all the time we have for this show. Comic Culture was produced by Chris Owen. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, Hamilton's award-winning radio station, McMaster Radio. We're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. Please go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a wonderful day.